This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Thank you, Big Ed. You know, Big Ed is many things. He's a station manager. He's a sports expert. He's a disc jockey. He knows all these groups. It's always fun to work with Ed. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed, thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning, the last day of March already, March 31st, 12 days... until Easter. I know we're not thinking about Easter very much right now, but that's what it is. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Alexis Rochek of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about Russia. How are they handling the virus in Russia? Well, she thinks that they may have reverted or gone back to the Soviet style of doing things, so we'll talk with her about that. And some government officials are reversing their stances on closing gun stores. You know how gun stores are considered non-essential businesses, therefore a lot of government? Well, wait till you hear about some government officials that are finding out maybe that's not necessarily the right thing to do. We're going to talk about all of that, by the way, with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. So stick around for that. And how about this? What are the oldest countries in the world? I mean, the real oldest, the ones that have been around the longest. Think about that for a moment, because we're going to give you the top 10. So stay tuned for that already. Well, we're still here. Are you hunkering down any more than you were a week ago? I think people are probably a little bit more cautious. Ed hands me these wet wipes, which I much appreciate, you know. You kind of tamp down everything when you come in. You know, when you do a radio show, frankly, you don't need as many people as, say, you're doing a TV production or something, you know. So thank the Lord we're able to continue to do the program. And be careful. And I'm thinking about all these people that have had these jobs where they go and they congregate with people. And I mean, I guess I can't fathom it, Ed, because I haven't done that in a while. But can you just imagine you have a family, let's say I have a family of four kids and a wife, and they're home from school because there ain't no school, and you can't work with all the people that you used to work with. It's really, I mean, if you think about it psychologically, you just... And you don't know when it's going to end, right?
I would hope that some of these people are kind of taking advantage of having family time and stuff that normally they would not. And kids being home from school, there's still stuff for them to do other than Xbox and stuff like that. So I would hope that the homeschool thing is kind of helping things out, you know? And just like, you know, mom and dad are home, they, you know, there's things they can do around the house, fixing up stuff that they... You know, the yard, whatever, that they normally would not be able to do. Makes the time go faster, too.
In our neighborhood, there are a lot more people actually walking on the sidewalk. I noticed that they are walking along. Some walk in the street because they don't even want to rub shoulders with people going the other way. But there are a lot more walkers. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
Well, you drive Edgewater home, Edgewater Drive.
I do normally. They've been doing construction, but yes, I now take, just so you know, Palmetto.
Yeah.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, east on Palmetto all the way down to Kings right now because of all the construction.
Yeah.
And swing over to Countryside Boulevard. Anyway.
But anyway, Edgewater is packed.
Yeah.
You know, they have that little, when you go down on the left, there's that little parking lot, and across the street, there's nothing there. Usually there's one or two cars over there. It's like 30, 40 cars there now, especially at night.
So people are actually making the effort to go over there because it's a very pretty walk there.
Yeah. I see them walking around people and, you know.
Yes. Yeah. It's, and the philosophers once said, may you live in interesting times. And we have found one. We have found one. Anyway, wanted to talk a little bit about this gun thing. You know, a lot of these governors and officials are saying, here's what's essential. We'll allow these to stay open, including grocery stores and gas stations and all utility companies and carry out for restaurants, you know, and all of these different things that need to go on. But you don't think about gun stores necessarily as being I wouldn't think of that right away as an essential business, right? So New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy had closed down the gun stores in the Garden State. But now he says that they will be able to stay open. So he's changed his stance. It marked a reversal because he had closed gun shops as well as other non-essential businesses to try and, you know, curb the spread of the virus. But I guess a lot of people said, no. A lot of people, for whatever reason, feel that a gun and their right to own one is an important thing right now. Same thing happened, by the way, in Los Angeles County, where the county sheriff, Alex Villanueva, said he will no longer order gun stores to be temporarily closed. Now, isn't that interesting? So people have gotten to these people and said, no, you can't, you're stopping my Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, and I think people are arming themselves because of, you know, a little bit of the hoardings going on, you know, and I hate saying this, but and I hope it never happens, but I hope that nothing happens to the country by another country because we're really exposed right now. A lot of things are shut down, and I'm just saying that I hope that somebody weren't to hit us with anything or because this would be the worst time for it to happen.
That's an interesting thought, yeah.
And people are securing themselves in case something like that were to happen. I mean, because you think of all the government things that are shut down right now.
But all the other countries are going through the same crisis with their people. I'm not sure that a military strike is on their mind right now.
I don't know if it would be a military strike, but it'd be something that...
Like through the internet or a grid or something.
A grid shutdown.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Something like that, where everybody's out of work and, you know...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's an interesting point.
It's really exposed.
I don't think, even there, as far as the government is concerned, I would think that they've got enough on their hands worrying about kind of a... here's what I think. In China, where, you know how people... And you've heard this... The Chinese might have intentionally done this, and they released a virus because they want to do this or that, for whatever reason. But if you think about it, they already have a shaky situation, especially in Hong Kong, and they try to keep clamp a lid down on people in their country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not autocratic. And if they release this virus... intentionally. Look what it's going to do to the stability of the people that they are. Because you've got the internet and people are learning more and more and more about the outside world. I just don't think they do that.
But those are crazy governments. They don't care what happens to their people as long as their government stays intact.
But the point is...
We're doing everything for our people. Can you tell me China's doing the same thing?
We have no idea
what's going on in China.
That's the thing. We know that their numbers are not going to be honest. We know it. And did you know in Wuhan, speaking about all of that they are opening up those animal markets again where you can buy animals? You know, people in certain parts of China, in the provinces, purchase animals, dogs, mm-hmm. and other animals, and kill them and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that may have been the route of the virus to begin. Well, they're allowing it again.
Mm.
They're allowing it. Crazy. Anyway, we're going to find out a little bit more about what is going on with Russia and Putin during this virus. We're going to talk with a lady from the Heritage Foundation about how Russia is handling this epidemic.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart, 'cause I am so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? One day I feel so happy, the next day I feel so sad.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works on the last day of March. Wow, 12 more days until Easter. I bet you never thought we would be celebrating Easter the way we're going to be celebrating it this year. We're delighted to have Alexis Maracek join us. She is a research associate for Russia and Eurasia at the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy. They're connected with the Great Heritage Foundation, and she has penned a piece about how Russia's handling of the coronavirus shows little has changed since the days of the Soviet Union. Alexis, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Delighted to have you on. And, you know, it's interesting. I haven't heard much about what Putin and Russia has been doing when it comes to this virus. So tell, can you update us a little bit about how badly it's hit Russia and what they're trying to do about it?
Yes, of course. Well, currently, the number of coronavirus cases in Russia are up to 2,337, and their number of cases have been rising over the last 7 days. But honestly, 2,337 is a fairly low number for how far this virus has progressed. Russia has a very long border with China. It's tens of thousands of miles, and a lot of Chinese workers live in Russia. And so it's kind of odd. And also the death toll is only at 17 right now, which is very low if you look at the rest of the numbers around the world.
Do you think that that's an honest number? I mean, do they really know, in fact, is that an accurate number?
I believe that this is not an accurate number. It seems that Russia is trying to do some type of cover-up because they don't want to want the rest of the world to know how bad their problems are.
Yeah, it's you just can't, and it's the same thing with China. We were just saying before you came on, about you know, the markets and the animal selling and everything else, and you hear these numbers, and all of a sudden China is all of a sudden have fewer cases than the United States. They've got 2 billion people there. They don't know. I don't see how they can track it. And in a certain way, the same thing with Russia. But I'm not even sure if even if they knew, right?
Yes, I totally agree.
Wow. So you have penned this piece about how Russia is showing that really little has changed since Soviet times. You know, I remember Nikita Khrushchev. I am that old. I was a little boy, but I remember him. He followed Joe Stalin. And Stalin, of course, took Russia through World War II as the head of Russia. And then Khrushchev came along in the 50s, and he went through the Kennedy years. Then we had a bunch of other. And so I remember all of those different premiers and how the Soviet Union was, what it was like, you know, the Iron Curtain and everything. And then Mikhail Gorbachev comes along, and with Reagan, they changed the whole outlook, and there's a warmth between the Soviet Union and the United States. And then a couple of years after Reagan leaves office, they break down the Iron Curtain. I remember all of this stuff. Are they building back that, not necessarily in Europe, but along the borders of Russia, this Iron Curtain? And do they have that philosophy? Is Putin just like Khrushchev and some of the people back then, do you think?
I think he does resemble them in some ways. I don't think he's exactly like them, but certainly he wants to preserve his reputation just as they did. He wants to be viewed as a strong leader, that he's in control of his nation, that the Russian people can look to him and trust in him. But honestly, the situation right now kind of resembles that of Chernobyl, which I'm sure you remember, which happened in 1986.
Right.
Horrible. You were alive then. Yes, because at that time, the Soviet leaders were wanting to cover up that situation. They were denying what had happened. They weren't willing to realize the impact of all that radiation that was affecting the world, not just the Soviet Union. And that's just like today, I think these numbers that are coming out of Russia, they are not accurate because the Kremlin, the Russian government, is wanting to cover up what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you made an interesting point, Alexis. You talked about how long a border there is with China, 2,600-mile border with China. I mean, that's like going across the United States from one end to the other.
Exactly.
And, I suspect it's mountainous and this and that and everything else. But so people going back and forth, I guess they're allowed to legally go. The Chinese are allowed to cross over and vice versa in certain parts. Is that, do you have a handle on how all of that works?
Well, Russia actually closed its border with China back in January. So that's positive news. But still, I think there must be maybe some type of illegal activity going on, crossing of borders. As of yesterday, Russia closed its borders so that only like diplomats and freight and other necessary vehicles and people can go back and forth. But I'm sure, like I said before, there's probably still some type of illegal passing
right
between borders.
So as far as the people themselves in their homes, say in Moscow, or in St. Petersburg, or wherever, even in Siberia, although I'm thinking about in Siberia. I'm just wondering if the virus ever gets out there. But anyway, so are people being treated the same way in terms of, say, how a governor might treat us here in Florida or in New York, where is Putin just kind of running things and saying, okay, everybody stay indoors? Or what's the deal? What are the orders right now from Putin on that for people?
Well, it's interesting because over the last few days, it seems that Putin has, in a way, disappeared. He's not making public statements like he was last week. He's kind of just disappeared from the forefront of this whole coronavirus situation in Russia. He is putting all the responsibility on his cronies right now, the other people in the Russian government, to give the orders to the Russian people. Right now, I think Moscow is on lockdown, St. Petersburg, and overall, at least 14 Russian regions are in lockdown. It's interesting because, Putin wanted these constitutional changes to be voted on in April to let him run for president again in 2024, but he postponed that vote. And then since saying that, it seems like he's kind of disappeared.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. He's postponed a vote on whether or not he's going to continue. Come on. I mean,
I know.
People, you know, people understand what's going on over there. You know, at one point he was going to be the premier, then he was going to be the president, and then he gets he was jumping back and forth, but he's still, you know, I mean, I'm just wondering about this. You say he has disappeared. Now, not being a conspiracy theorist, do you think he might have gotten the virus or something?
I don't think so, and I don't think his disappearance necessarily means anything. I just think it's a little bit interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So they got about 13 million people, if I'm not mistaken, in Russia, mm-hmm. something like that. And how many people did you say, only 17 deaths out of 13 million people? Is that what he's claiming right now, something like
Correct.
That?
Correct. Okay. Only 17. And a week ago, they were only reporting one death, which is just crazy because, you know, we've seen how this virus has just spread exponentially, you know, around the world.
How do they handle, or would you know, how do they handle things like medical devices and shipping them from, let's say, Moscow or wherever to these different hospitals all over the place? I'm just wondering about these hospitals, and I guess that's kind of a secret, too. We don't know. But ventilators, you know, are they protecting the older people in the country? You know, all of the things that we are experiencing because of the virus are going to be the kind of the same things that they'll have to go through too, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm not too sure about how they're shipping ventilators to different parts of the country, but I know
or
that
if they are even doing it.
Exactly, but yeah. I do know some of the Russian rich elites are hoarding ventilators in their homes and building their own clinics in their homes because they want their medical care to be quote unquote better than what they would receive in a hospital. So it's just interesting the corruption in Russia. It's not just the Kremlin; it's also the Russian rich elite. They're, you know, hoarding these things, and you know they shouldn't have the right to do that. But
no,
they're doing it anyway.
You know, China and Russia, both, you know, autocratic, run by basically a group or a person as dictatorship. We are now seeing whatever you want to call it, the fruits of that through a virus and what will happen to the people in their countries and how that will work, as opposed to in our country, where, you know, we have somewhat more of a dispersal of authoritarianism. We've got the governors, we've got the Congress, we've got the president, but they all work together, and there isn't one person that absolutely has taken command of everything, you know, as opposed to these two countries. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how all of this plays out, don't you think, in terms of the safety of the people of these countries?
Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, it's been a pleasure, Alexis. Thank you so very much for coming on and talking to us. I know you'll kind of keep track. You kind of keep an eyeball on all of these things that are going on in Russia and China. And what you must be kept pretty busy these days with all of this craziness.
I am, definitely, and especially self-isolating at home. I have a lot more time to research and write, which is nice.
Oh, that's good. Well, you stay safe, and I hope we can talk again.
Thank you. Sounds great. Have a wonderful day.
Same to you. Alexis Brodchek from the Heritage Foundation. Okay. We're going to take our break. You know, can't wait to talk to the proprietor of the barber pole. I want to find out if they are still doing their barbershop work, or whether or not he's kind of being careful. I need a haircut pretty soon. Anyway, I got to get over there. But we're going to talk a lot about what President Trump is doing and how he is doing it, how he's being perceived by the media right now, with the proprietor, Andrew the Master Barber.
Get into my car.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network, and delighted to be here and delighted to have, as we always do, the proprietor of the only poll that really makes any difference to mainstream America, the barber poll, Andrew the Master Barber. Speaking of that, Andrew, are you haircutting today or are you hunkered down?
Paul, you know what I've been doing? I heard rumors that there were a couple shops open. Now, on my door, the police put a big poster. It says, do not be within 6 feet of anybody, okay?
Yeah.
Which tells me you can't open. Now, there's a couple of barbershops open, and I drove up and down 580 just to see today. There's only two open, and they're on US 19, and I can't see how they can be open.
They shouldn't be if you're not allowed to stay open. Although, is that rule for you from Dunedin?
Or from
the county, or how?
It's from the county.
From the county. Well, then they, because you're talking,
they're breaking the law.
That's what I was going to say, yes.
You know, because, in fact, I had one of my customers call me yesterday and says, Andrew, you know, your competition is open. I says, well, I don't see how. Well, he told me, wait out in your car and I'll tell you when you could come in. And he's doing one person at a time, but it don't make no sense. The law says 6 feet. Unless you got a 6 foot long arm, I don't see how you can do it.
Yeah, or a 6 foot long pair of shears, or you hang you hang them on a fishing pole. I mean, you know, are you going to do this?
It's amazing me what's going on out here with this, you know, because to me, the numbers still don't match up, man.
In terms of exactly what you mean by it. What do you mean by that?
It's like the 7.8 billion people in the world, okay? 800,000 in the world have been infected. And in the world, 40,000 deaths.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We got 328.2 million people in this country. Half a million people have been infected. That's 500,000.
Right.
Okay, and out of the deaths, what are they saying, like 3,000?
About 3.7. But here's the thing, Andrew. Nobody knows for sure that these numbers are that accurate. Remember, we do not know how many people are. We'll never know, ever, how many people are really infected.
That goes for the same with the flu last year.
Correct.
I mean, you know, we don't know.
Well, no, we don't. We don't.
You know, so I mean, I could understand these precautions and stuff, but I mean, if this was all automatically taken over with a landslide of people getting sick and everything, it'd be one thing. I just, I don't know. I think there's still something behind all of this.
Yes, and we have talked about it, whether or not this was intentional or indeed whether or not the numbers are actually correct. First of all, I know the numbers are not actually correct because we cannot trust Russia. We're just talking with a lady about that. Can't trust China. You know that. We can't trust them. I think they have more people dead in China from this than we have.
Well, you know, I was hearing Ed speak a little bit earlier. You know, not for nothing. We got our pants down right now. We don't want to be caught with something happening.
Well, and I think you do have to be careful. We were talking earlier also, and I wanted to ask you about it, by the way. There are some government officials that are reversing their decision to prohibit gun stores from being open because they had originally, they being the county of Los Angeles and the state of New Jersey, the governor there, had said that these were non-essential businesses. All of a sudden, they changed their tune.
Hey, Paul, you know, right now, like I say, to me, everything is just in an uproar. Nobody knows whether they're coming or going with anything. I mean, are the hospitals overflowing with people right now? I didn't hear anything about it.
No. I mean, okay. I haven't.
Cuomo's still sitting on all the respirators he was crying he didn't have.
Well, I don't think he's sitting on them necessarily, although I guess they... You know, I mean, that's all kind of, what do you call the word, logistics? You know, getting things from one place to...
Whatever.
You know, that's going to happen, right? I mean, this thing about where did these ventilators go, and when Donald Trump brought up the fact that we did ship them, maybe they're sitting in a warehouse, and then Cuomo says, well, we didn't get them, or, well, come on. We all know that those things happen. That's just human nature.
You know what I'm wondering, Paul? Is there any other news going on in the world right now?
You're right. And there are things going on, but we don't hear about them.
Nothing, Paul.
I mean,
nothing.
All of a sudden, we don't hear about what's going on in Syria, you know,
nothing.
With the battles that are going on there. How about Iraq? What's going on in North Korea with him? Is he launching
nothing.
A missile? Is he
this
launching
is
a
saying.
Missile?
We don't hear anything except this. I got news for you. You're driving people crazy, Paul.
And one of the reasons we do certain things here, we do our top 10, and I made a point of... deciding we're going to do top 10s that have nothing to do with this virus because it's all virus all the time. And, you can't get away from it unless you turn on music on your radio or something.
Paul, I'm not getting myself locked up in this panic right now until I start seeing people dropping in front of me.
Kyle,
I just,
God forbid.
I know. I'm just, you know, I just think it don't match up. I think there's a lot going on, and I think this is a lot to cover up a lot that's going on.
Now, President Trump, as he has been doing regularly, he's been very much in the front. And he held another conference. This time he held it out in the Rose Garden yesterday. And he announced that we've tested over 1 million people in this country for the virus. He did unveil a new rapid test kit. That's kind of good news. He's trying to put a positive spin on things. And then you get CNN's Jim Acosta. I don't know if you watched it yesterday. He confronted Donald Trump and asked a question about, well, you said originally that, you know, in so many words, he says something about how Trump was wrong about how mild this whole thing was going to be. And, what do you say to those people? You know, basically his question is, what do you say now to those people after you said things were not going to be that bad kind of thing? Of course, Trump jumped on him. You know, he said, basically he said something like, only you would ask something like that. And you're at a station that has very few viewers. He just went right in.
Well, Paul, all the reporters are trying to get the gotcha.
They are. A lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what to make of this right now. It's got me confused, buddy.
Now, one of his medical people, Dr. Fauci, did say that there's a chance that over 100,000 people will die from this virus when all is said and done. That's kind of a scary scenario. And
is he talking throughout the world or in the country?
In our country.
In our country?
In
well,
our
you know
country.
What? We're going to see, aren't we?
We are going to see. But that to me, was a scary scenario. He didn't say for sure, but he said the way things are going now. Look at New York. All of a sudden, what's the word when it, you know, it doubles and doubles and doubles? So now all of a sudden,
steamrolls.
Yeah, it steamrolls, and all of a sudden, although we have Cuomo up there every day, who is getting more FaceTime than the president. And, you know, all of a sudden, Biden is probably, you know, sitting at home going, why don't they get stop talking to Cuomo. I'm getting nervous over here.
Biden's hiding.
Biden is in hiding.
Yep.
Well, anyway, so you're feeling good otherwise? Is everybody in your family doing well?
I'm feeling great. Everybody's doing great. The family's starting to drive me crazy, you know, this togetherness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what. I can understand keeping the distance. I tell all my kids, you got to keep your distance.
Have you experienced the same thing that everybody else has? You go to the but the only thing open these days is a grocery store or a 7-Eleven or a gas station.
With this economy. Whatever it is triggered the economy. So
I'm looking right now. Believe it or not, the stock market is in the green right now. It's actually up. It's actually up. So that's kind of good news. I'm a little bit worried about where that is going. But would you get on an airplane right now, Andrew, to fly, say, to just for the sake of it, say, to Oklahoma or something without being?
No, you know what I'm thinking? I wouldn't want to get on an airplane right now, but I'm thinking of going to take cash out of the bank, Paul.
You are?
Yeah, because you know what?
Are you worried about
crashes? Mm-hmm. Of course.
You're worried about the banks?
I'm worried about my cash in the bank. You know, I had a cousin that when a bank closed down, ended up losing $300,000, saying the FDIC was going to cover money. The FDIC don't cover nothing because they don't have no money.
Well, you think there might be a run on the banks?
Yeah, well, I think there could be a run on something. So I'm definitely contemplating taking cash out of the bank.
That's an interesting scenario. Having read some history about what happened when the Depression started, which, by the way, came on right after 1929 when you were just a little boy.
That's right.
And you know what FDR did? The first thing he did when he was elected, which was he took office in January of 1933. By the way, did you know he took office the same year that Hitler took office?
No, didn't know that.
The same month and the same year, they both took office at the same time for different purposes, of course. But anyway, so FDR closed the banks.
Because there was
a run on the banks going on, and he decided to close the banks and allow them to kind of get their act together before he reopened them.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm definitely contemplating it, because I don't care about the stock market. I'm worried about what's going to happen with the banks where my cash is.
Yeah. I have not heard that one before. Now you got me. Now I got one more thing to worry about, Andrew.
Well, that'd be the main thing to worry about.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Okay.
Because, it happened before, and, history repeats itself, buddy.
Now, I got to know when you're going to be open again so I can come get a haircut from you.
Well, I wish I could tell you.
Okay.
But you'll be the first to know.
I know I will, and we want to make sure that everybody stays safe, and, we're going to get through this. By the way, Ron DeSantis, they misquoted him. They thought, or somebody thought, that he had announced that they were going to shut down Southeast Florida in terms of people being able to move about through May. But it turned out he just meant through, April the 15th. Was that what it is? Because right now, in the three counties down there, the big ones, Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach County, they do have restrictions on actually getting out of the house.
You know, Paul, if the virus doesn't kill them in 3 weeks, they'll be killing each other.
Oh, boy.
It's a knockdown. I got news for you.
Oh, goodness.
You don't have to worry about it.
All right.
But, you know, so far, the shootings are down in Chicago.
That's the one thing about this, that it does cut down every major metropolitan area. It probably has lower shooting crime rates, right?
Yep.
So
they are.
And you guys are looking at the downside of things. I'm looking different. Paul, you said the stock market, you're worried about it. I think the stock market is now stabilizing. If you notice, it's been up and it's been down, but it's not been by 1,000 or 2,000 points.
True.
It's 50, 60, 100, 200 here, up and down, which is normal. And, you know, as far as the virus goes, we're making progress because when we first did testing, it took like, what, over 24 hours or something like that. Then it took 45 minutes. And now it's down to we've developed something now that takes 5 minutes to see if you're infected.
Well,
and the biggest thing of being able to test it for positive, now you know what's in it. Now you can possibly make something to counteract it.
Yeah. And that's a very interesting point you're making. And I thought about that, too, that the numbers are not as drastic going back and forth. Like right now, it's about 90 above. 90,
right.
91. Okay. The people that are involved in the stock market, I think, are beginning to think we have now got a game plan going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that is helping, to help stabilize the volatility
right.
of this whole situation.
And I think we're making progress in the right direction. So,
yeah.
You know, gas prices are still on our side. You know,
yeah, thank God. Yeah, time to go buy a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it really is. Gas is what, about $1.60 or $1.58?
$1.65 a gallon at BJ's.
Well, if you turn around, go the other way, go back to that rally on Main Street, that's $1.54.
We got to go buy a boat.
$1.54, did you
yes,
say?
Yes, $1.54.
I'm going there.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
So I think things will start to stabilize in the next couple of weeks. And we're always going to have doubters come on. And that Fucci guy, he came on today and said that he's pretty sure that this could return in the fall. You know, it's
Fauci.
Fauci.
Fucci is his older brother.
Okay.
We're talking about Fauci. Go ahead.
So anyway, he thinks it could come back in the fall, which is another downer. And then you got Cuomo up there.
Well, we would be
there.
Ready for it the next time because we would know how to deal with it. Maybe we'd have a vaccine or
and
something.
And Cuomo's
we'd
up,
have a lot more toilet paper on here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cuomo's up there ordering refrigerated trucks to carry out the potential dead. he's got refrigerated trucks parked at hospitals that are not filled.
Can I say something about Cuomo? Does he not, when he's talking up there in front of you, kind of make you think of an Undertaker a little bit?
He's probably got interest in a few funerals.
Maybe that's what it is.
He tells you stuff that you already know.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know,
in a movie, he would be great in the role of the Undertaker at the morgue or something like that.
Anytime you see him,
funeral
he's always
home.
Got a graphic right next to him. Then all you got to do is read the graphic. But he got to point out, now, if you take a look at this here and then follow this over to here and then follow this down and follow this. Come on.
Andrew, I cannot wait to talk with you on Friday. I hope things will be even more, I don't know.
You got it. We're going to see
gonna
what
be
happens.
Positive. It'll be positive.
I'm watching the bank, buddy.
Well, listen, don't make your own run on the bank. Leave a little bit in there for me.
Yeah, and let us know where you keep your cash too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We want to come visit you. All right, thank you
so much, buddy. All right, guys, you be good.
All right, you too. You know, it's always a pleasure to talk with Andrew the Master Barber. He really does sort of have a sense. I don't know. He's got a sense of what's going on with most people and how they feel. So, always great to talk with him. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about what are the oldest countries in the world. I think you're going to be surprised to hear which countries are the very oldest.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. and maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of our show on Tuesday here. Freedom Works. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. On the great Tan Talk Radio Network. Ed, did you know that the Tampa Bay Times, starting next week, is only going to publish their newspaper 2 days a week, Wednesday and Sunday only.
The poor Tampa Bay Pravda.
The Pravda is cutting back, and the publisher, Paul Tash, explains on the front page in a little bit of a column there that they just can't afford to keep running the paper every day because they, you know, they're advertisers.
Yeah, I understand that, but right. They were having problems way before that.
They are, yes.
And when you're the only game in town, that's pretty sad because people just don't want to read that. I've walked into Walmart and they've had, you know, people standing there trying to sell the papers, subscription, and I've heard
recently.
Yeah, well, before this, walk in. A couple of months ago, maybe? Yeah, and the guy is standing there and wanting you to sign up for subscription and all that stuff. And I've heard people say, I'm not that leftist paper, you know? So,
yeah, there's no question about their political. They hate Trump. And remember Gillum?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew
that
Gillum?
That was their guy.
That was their guy, and now he gets caught with a gay meth guy. I guess his career is over.
And they've got a bad feeling for
they don't like DeSantis.
And they
much.
Don't like the Scientology people. So
they don't like the Scientology. No. Oh, they've been going after them.
There was something
forever.
In today they were pointing out that they're not adhering to the rules like every other church. They're still congregating and not
really?
Yeah, and they made a statement saying they're keeping the place cleaner. But the one reporter noticed that, you know, the buses that carry them around, and people are sitting there shoulder to shoulder on the buses.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, the Times will go after them for any reason.
Oh, yeah. I saw that today.
And they're not big on Trump either. They're not big on Trump.
No. Oh, no.
Well, I all my life, my dad was a newspaper man. I've been connected to a newspaper my entire life. So it's a shock to the system when I won't have one on my driveway, you know, in the morning. Mm-hmm. When next week arrives. All right. Very briefly, just because we want to talk about something else. Here in Tampa Bay, we would normally be ecstatic. I read that Tom Brady actually wanted to come to Tampa Bay. He was trying to sell himself
to
the Buccaneers. He's coming from the New England Patriots as our new hope, eternal Springs hope quarterback.
Jason Light, our general manager, was all set to, you know, give the old sales pitch, and by the time we got him on the phone, his agent said, "We're so glad you called because, you know, we were waiting on this." And he just let him talk, and he talked his way into it. So
okay, why would he choose the Buccaneers, which is, well, you know, a team that isn't like at the top of the pole?
No, but it's got the potential, the firepower that he's got on offense, and defense is just really starting to come together at the end of the year, and they're keeping the defense intact. Player wise, and
we have two very good receivers.
He apparently is very excited about a Pro Bowl type tight end, and
he's on the East Coast. People thought, you thought he might go to the Los Angeles Chargers because of his L.A. connections, but it turns out his family and everything wants to stay on the East Coast.
Yeah, his family's in New York in that area, so you know a flight would be 3 hours instead of seven. So that was a big part of it, too.
Plus, we have a nicer climate than New England does.
Right. And no state tax.
Okay. Very good.
And
All right.
I just wanted to say that it's ironic that people were, should we keep Jameis? Should we not? It's funny how he has no job right now.
Yeah, no.
And a guy that was in the XFL quarterback actually has a job in the NFL now.
Wow. How things have changed, not just in the virus world, in the sports world. Okay, Ed's going over to the drums. We have, a very interesting top 10. These are the top 10 oldest countries in the world that are still countries now. And by the way, Ed, they come from the worldpopulationreview.com, worldpopulationreview.com. So we're going to base this on how old are in terms of it, their sovereignty in the world, all right? And I'm going to give you their current populations as well. So here we go. Top 10 oldest countries, number 10. I would never have thought it, but Afghanistan. Afghanistan was founded, if you want to call it that, in 678 BC.
Wow.
And right now they got about 39 million people. Number 9.
Oops.
Ed stepped off the drum for a moment. Number 9 is the Sudan in Africa. They were founded, if you want to call it, 1070 BC. That's 1,000 years before Christ. Current population, 44 million. Number 8, Israel. Well, we knew they go back to at least biblical times, but they were founded at 1300 BC.
Mm.
They've got about 8.6 million people. Number 7, the country of Georgia, part of the former USSR, 1300 BC. They're actually kind of tied with Israel. They got about 4 million people. Number 6, India, 2000 BC. They've got 1.4 billion people. Number 5.
I wonder, back then they were calling people to ask if they wanted to extend their car warranty.
In that period, it was their wagon warranty. Mm. Number 5, Korea. Would you believe Korea was a country, even though they're right next to China? 2,333 BC. How do they know it was exactly 2,333 BC? And they got about 26 million people. You know, they say North Korea on here. That can't be right. They didn't call it North Korea.
I think it was all one. It didn't split.
It was all one. Yeah. Number 4. Armenia. Yeah. A Eurasian country. They were founded 2492 BC. 2.9 million people. Number 3. And this one kind of surprised me, too. Vietnam. Goes back to 2879 BC. They've got about 97 million people right now. Number 2. Egypt. They're even older than Israel. They're number 2. 3100 BC is when they were founded. They've got about 102 million people in the country of Egypt. All right, Ed, here we go. Do you have any idea what the number
one? Not at all.
I would never have known this. It's in the Mideast. We don't get along with them. They took
Iran?
Exactly. Hmm. It's Iran, number one. Iran in 3200 B.C. 3200 B.C. They've currently got about 84 million people, so they've been around a long time. Thank you for joining us. We will be back on Friday. Please be safe, and always remember, freedom works.